This is lesson number 3 in the course, entitled, The Christian Life. I'm on page 7 of the manual, and we're still talking about preliminary considerations. We come now to the question about the essence and characteristics of biblical Christianity. What is the essence of biblical Christianity? And I mean by that, what is the very heart of the whole thing? If you would take away from biblical Christianity everything that would be unessential, what would you have left? What is the absolute minimal list related to Christianity? Well, we've already anticipated that in the diagram number 1, in referring to the revelation of God as the person of Jesus Christ. And that's the key to biblical Christianity, a person. Notice in diagram number 4, where we've reminded ourselves that God made us in the Garden of Eden so that he could be right at the very center of all of our life. He made us theocentric. That's right, God-centered, theocentric. And we understand from Colossians 1:18 that it's the great plan of the Father that Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in all things. Now that's why God made all of the universes. It was so that Jesus Christ would be preeminent. And that's the master plan of all of the ages. The master plan out of which everything else grows. All has to do with the great purpose of exalting Jesus Christ. And he is worthy of all of that. He is worthy. So that's the master plan of the universe. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, he was completely unembarrassed about affirming that that was true about him. He said that he was the light of the world. And if anyone would follow him, they wouldn't walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He said that he was the way and the truth and the life. He was the bread of life. He was the good shepherd. He was worthy of all glory. He knew that. And without embarrassment, he claimed that. We understand that it was the great purpose of the Holy Spirit in coming to glorify the Lord Jesus and to make him central in all things. That's why our Savior himself in John 16, verse 13 and 14 said, when he has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he shall glorify me. Well, we think of all of the work of the Holy Spirit. Think of him working in the lives of people in the Old Testament. Think of the theocracy, the whole prophetic movement, the inspiration of the Bible, the creation of the church. Think of all of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his people. And all of that has to do with one single great goal, glorifying the Lord Jesus. Then we realize also that this is the great purpose for in the worship of all of the angels. In Revelation 5, we see all of the angels worshiping and adoring the Lamb, who is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise and majesty and strength. So when you ask the question about the essence of biblical Christianity, we're reminded of all of this. That as I have here at the bottom of page 7 under A, Christianity is or revolves around a person, Jesus Christ. And we're reminded under that that the content of revelation is a person. God has revealed himself to us. How important it is that we understand that. The whole content of the revelation of God is the manifestation to us of God as a person. And it's all through the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the revelation of God. And then the provision of God is a person, that God has given himself to us. The grace of God is never something that can be obtained or utilized. A apart from the person of the Lord Jesus. He is our grace. He is our strength. He is our wisdom. There's no end to the comments that can be made in the Bible about Jesus Christ being at the center of all of life. Well, when we see that, then we've taken the first correct step in understanding biblical Christianity. Notice on page 8, the evidence for this definition of Christianity, that is, Christ being at the center of all things, the biblical evidence. Notice how personal some of these verses are. Jeremiah 2:13, "They have forsaken me," the Lord said. "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Forsaken me." Hosea 13:9, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." Matthew 10:11-28, the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me." In John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God." John 14:6, Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Ephesians 1:17, Paul prayed that the people there might come to a deeper knowledge of him. Paul's great cry in Philippians 3:10, "that I might know him." In Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, there are pages of material that can be gathered to point out this great truth, that Christ is at the center of all things, therefore he must be at the center of my life if I'm going to make a success of this matter of the Christian life. Well, it's necessary when we understand that to realize some of the implications about this. It means that I can never live my life then just in relationship to a group of doctrines. Christianity is more than a group of doctrines. It certainly is that. It's the truth. But it's more than that. It's all about the one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus. Well, the doctrinal evidence for that in page 8. For example, in relationship to faith, faith has God as its object. In Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would be saved. Concerning sin, it's always personal. It's a transgression against God. Now, we hear about sinning against the Bible, sinning against people, and sinning against the church, sinning against society. Well, there's an element of truth to that, but not very much. Our sin is against God. No wonder David said in Psalm 51, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Concerning salvation, we're complete in Christ. Concerning sanctification, he is our holiness. Concerning knowledge, he's the truth. Concerning prayer, we pray in his name. Concerning witnessing, we witness to him. In relationship to peace, he is our peace. Relationship to wisdom, Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Concerning righteousness, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Now, again, there are dozens of pages that can be gathered from the Old and the New Testament to show that all things revolve around the Lord himself, particularly around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about the basis of Christianity, the essence of Christianity, we're talking about a person who is to us the revelation and the provision of God. Well, that certainly sets the stage for some clear observations about how I'm to live my Christian life. I must give my life over to him. I must choose that he'd be at the center of everything. How I think and what I think. How I feel. He must be the Lord of my emotions. How I fulfill my bodily desires, drive the car, spend my money, what I do on vacation, how I live my daily life in all of its completeness and complexity. Christ is that must be at the center, and he must be there to be worshipped and honored and praised and glorified. Now, there are many other things can be said. For example, when I give him that rightful place by faith, love, and hope on the basis of the Word of God and the work of God, then it's interesting to see from the Scripture what strength, grace, power, direction flows into our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that that's true because now we're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The blessed Holy Spirit dwells within us to lift up the Lord Jesus. In the middle of page 8 now, I have a warning. And my warning is that Christianity may be perverted into a form of spiritual idolatry. Number 1, we may not pervert Christianity by substituting the church for the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, take a look at the diagram number 4. You understand that here I have Christ at the center. Now, we may not erase Christ and put the church at the center. Now, the church is very, very important, but it's secondary to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And I must give him his rightful place in the center of my life. And now when I do, then I will learn how to give the church rightful place. Christ is the head of the church. Secondarily, we may not pervert Christianity by substituting the written word for the person of the Lord Jesus. When we do so, we miss the truth that he's the living word. Spirituality is not automatically ensured by just reading the Bible. So, we have to realize that the reason why we believe the Bible is because of Jesus Christ, who is himself the revelation of God in the way that he accepted the Old Testament. And I believe the Bible because of who he is and what he has done in my life by the Holy Spirit. Now, we kind of miss the point when we study the Bible and we do it apart from Christ. There are many people who do that. People who are not born again, who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. If I'm going to live the Christian life, I must give the living word central place in my life. Thirdly, bottom of page 8, we may not pervert Christianity by substituting Christian service for the person of the Lord Jesus. When we do so, we miss the truth that he's the Lord of the harvest field in Matthew 9:38. Spirituality is not automatically ensured by Christian service. So now we have there in diagram number 4, we have Christian service. We can't erase Jesus Christ and put Christian service there. Many people have tried that. I have found occasionally that I've gotten so caught up in serving the Lord that I've missed him. Oh, that may never be done. You got to watch that. I may not substitute Christian service for the person of the Lord Jesus. Fourthly, the bottom of page 8, we may not pervert Christianity by substituting Christian experience for the person of Jesus Christ. When we do so, we miss the truth that he is our sanctification. Spirituality is not automatically ensured by an emotional religious experience. Now, Christianity is experiential. No question about that. But it's an experience that grows out of and is bounded by the written Word of God in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I may not take Christ out of the center of my life and put my Christian experience there. Many people have tried that and are trying it today. Christian experience has a wonderful place in my life, but only when the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my sanctification, is at the center of my life. Top of page 9. Number 5. We may not pervert Christianity by substituting a list of rules for the person of Jesus Christ. When we do so, we miss the truth that he is our Lord, as he said in John 6:46. Spirituality is not automatically ensured by obeying do's and don'ts. Well, in too many of our churches, these legalistic rules are far too important. You know, a person cannot smoke, not drink, not dance, not go to theater, not play cards, and not associate with anybody who does these things and still go to hell. That's right. Now, we have to be careful about obeying the Lord. And I'm not saying that any of these don'ts ought to be done. Not at all. It's the relationship that's important. Why is it that I do not perform these or get involved in these five don'ts? Why is it? Because of Jesus Christ. That's why. It's not my reputation. It's not even what it would do for me or to me, but it's because of Him. That's the important point. When I give Jesus Christ central place in my life, then I'm given the discernment and the clarity to live separate from the world. Well, from these brief comments upon the essence of Christianity, we realize that the first point, then, is that the answer to the question, what is the essence of Christianity? The answer would be, Christianity revolves around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be at the center of it all. Then secondarily, on page 9, Christianity is our only final authority. Well, take a look at that diagram, and I also have it now on diagram number 5 in the packet. It's important to understand that the foundation, as we have said, of all of the Christian life is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work and His word. And when we understand that, then we realize that all of this comes to us as final authority. Now, when I accept that by faith and practice it honestly, then what happens to me? When I live in harmony with the authority that's rooted in the person, work, and word of the Lord Jesus, that produces in my life freedom. Freedom. No wonder it says in John 8:32, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I don't overlook the fact that that truth is the truth about Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and the truth about His word, and the truth given in the holy, inspired, infallible word of God. That's where that freedom comes from. Now, what happens if I live out of harmony with the authority of God? If I live out of harmony, that produces slavery. Slavery. To the degree that I choose not to believe, accept, and practice the authority of biblical Christianity, that enslaves me. Isn't it interesting that the companion verse in John 8 is verse 34, where it states that those who commit sin are the servants of sin. Well, it's very important for us to realize that the very essence of Christianity has to do with two main points. Point number one, Christ at the center of all of life. Number two, that Christ and His work and His word form the foundation of final authority in my life. Now, I have here, page number 9, number 1, the authority of Christianity is found in the person of Jesus Christ, in His work, and in His word. These foundation stones structure and determine the content of Christianity. Now, take your Bible. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. In this great passage, the Apostle Paul is stating the meaning of the gospel. Now, Paul, as a good theologian, defined his terms. And here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now, what is that? Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You see, in verse 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15, the three foundation stones, Christ died, buried, rose again, according to the Scripture. Well, there we have it. That's the basis of the authority of biblical Christianity. The authority is not resident in the church. Authority has been delegated to the church, but that's not the source of it. It's not found in your heart and mind, or in the leaders of the church. It's found in Christ, the revelation of God, His work, what He's done for us, His word, what He has said to us. And that is the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul. Well, now, there are many things that can be said about this. you understand, of course, that what it means to be a modernist or a liberal or an apostate is to devalue the three foundation stones. And here's where a good deal of material from the history of Christian thought could be brought in. How many times, as we've looked back into history, we don't have to look very hard either, we see some people who did not accept the full inspiration, authority, infallibility of the Holy Word of God. We see in history where people have not accepted the great biblical truth that the work of God was a substitutionary representative work, Christ dying for our sins and being resurrected so that we might be justified and live in newness of life. And we see in history people who have devalued the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we may not tamper with these foundation stones. The foundation stone of the person of Jesus Christ, his work and his word, form the authority that comes to you and to me. In page 9 and number 2, I make the statement that to alter the foundation of Christianity is to destroy its very nature. We may not deny the deity of Christ, the historical character of the atonement, nor the inspiration and final authority of the Scripture. Number 3, it's highly important to understand that the source, content, authority, and provision in Christianity are all found in the person of God himself, made available to us through his historical work, and revealed and explained to us in the Word of God. You see how all those go together? Then number 4, one important question is whether or not we've accepted the authority of Christianity. It's not enough to give lip service to Christianity. The evidence of such an acceptance would be seen in our involvement with the person of Jesus Christ and with his work and his word. Now, the important word in that sentence is involvement. What does it mean to be involved? Well, take a look at diagram now, number 6. You see now I've taken the former diagram and I've just turned it up on the side. So there we have the authority of God that has come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the three foundation stones. Now let's work it out. What does it mean to be involved with Jesus Christ? Well, I have it on the bottom of page 9. First of all, there must be personal involvement with the person of Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean? It means in my personal life that I need to live a life of fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1:9. Now, that's where it turns up, first of all. That's the first clear, practical manifestation as to whether we're walking in the light, whether we are in fellowship with God. If I'm involved as a believer with Jesus Christ, involved biblically, then my life will be characterized by fellowship with him. How important that is. How we need to nurture that and develop that in our lives. Fellowship with God. The second is that in relationship with the church, particularly, we'll be identified and involved in worship. Identified with the people involved in the church. Worshiping God. John 4, no wonder the Lord Jesus said, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. Well, that's a characteristic of biblical Christianity. And then thirdly, in our work life, there must be the characteristic of witnessing for him, living for him, being witnesses like he promised in Acts 1:8. Now, how can a person say that he's involved with the person of the Lord Jesus when he's not in fellowship, he's not worshiping God, and not witnessing? Well, now, it can't be said that. The true believer will manifest these three great foundation stones in a very practical way. And in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it'd be fellowship, worship, and witnessing. Well, now, secondarily, bottom of page 9, there must be personal involvement with the work of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to pick this up later, but I can only introduce it here. What has Jesus Christ provided for us in the crucifixion? He's provided a cleansing from the power of sin, and we're commanded to put off the deeds of the old man. Now, I'll take that up later, but here now I just want to emphasize the fact that in the work of Jesus Christ of cleansing us when provided. And if I'm a true believer, if I'm involved with Him, if I've accepted the authority of Christianity, there will be a manifestation of that inner cleansing in my daily life. Not just what I say, but who I am and what I do. In the resurrection, He's provided an enablement to live virtuously in Romans 6:18, and we're commanded to put on the deeds of the new man, that is characterized by the new man, the resurrected man. Now, if I have accepted the authority of Christianity, it means involvement with His work. And His work has to do with a divine enablement. Now, that must be something that I need to see in my daily life and work for. Page 10 in the Ascension, He's provided a daily victory over Satan. We're commanded neither give place, foothold to the devil. And we're to resist the devil. Now, if I've accepted the authority of Christianity, there will be a manifestation of that victory of the Ascension. Why, in the Ascension, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. There will be a manifestation of that. Seated with Christ. And then fourthly, in the day of Pentecost, He provided a daily anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if I've accepted the authority of Christianity and daily involved in the work of God, then there will be manifestation of that fruit of the Spirit and the enablement of the Holy Spirit to be a good witness. Now, this brings us up short, doesn't it? This reminds us that for many people, Christianity is a way of talking, not a way of living. Now, it may not be like that in our lives. The biblical Christian is one who not only professes with his mouth, but he articulates it with his life. He lives it out. The third point here on page 10, capital C, there must be personal involvement with the Word of Jesus Christ. So now, if I have submitted to the authority of God, it will be manifested not only in my relationship with Christ, not only manifested in my relationship to His work, it will be manifested in my relationship to the Word of God. And I have four things here, very simply stated. There will be the characteristic in my life of a seeking of the Word of God, like it says in 1 Peter 2:2, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. A seeking of the Word. Secondarily, a submitting to the Word of God. A willing submission. Thirdly, a mixing of the Word of God with faith. Taking the Word of God and putting it into practice. Fourthly, there will be the obeying of the Word of God in love. Obeying of the Word. How important it is that we understand that. Well, now, I'd like to say a good deal more about this, but because of the brevity of these lessons, I'm going to have to leave it to you now to work this out. Now, you work hard on this as to what it means to be consistent with the three great foundation stones. Now, just a comment on the middle of page 10. It's important for us to realize that the believer may be unaware of his real problems. There may be something, for example, hidden in our lives that we don't really see that's causing us a great deal of difficulty. Or we may be deceived to some degree and under the attack of the enemy. Well, all Christians are to some degree. We can't discount that. Now, in the light of what we've been talking about, it's important that we trust ourselves to the blessed Holy Spirit and ask Him to show us any reason in our life why we cannot live the Christian life as these verses have described the Christian life. Now, by all means, we are not just to be passive people. We may not just blame now our failure upon other people or upon our past. God has made an adequate provision for us. Let's trust Him to teach us and show us so that our lives can be for the glory and the honor and the praise of God. Well, have you accepted final authority into your life? Well, I sincerely trust so.